ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Decades ago, while other countries were embracing nuclear power, Australia put a ban on it. Now, the federal opposition wants to lift that ban and build nuclear power plants on the sites of ageing coal-fired power stations. Today, we look at the feasibility of that idea with Dylan McConnell, an energy systems analyst at the University of New South Wales. And we ask, why should we want to go down that path when renewable energy is surging ahead? I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney, with this, the 500th episode of ABC News Daily. Dylan, nuclear power, it seems a bit scary, doesn't it? There have been a few disasters, right? Chernobyl, Fukushima. I guess the concern is when things go wrong, they can really go wrong.
Yeah, that's right. There has been a few high-profile incidences.
Massive quantities of radiation have apparently been released in an accident at the Chernobyl power station in the Ukraine.
And there's also the Three Mile Island incident in the United States as well.
Mm-hmm. On Three Mile Island, power plant workers are trying to figure out how to cool down the damaged reactor. But the heat inside the plant has aggravated the problem of escaping radioactive gases.
But it must be said that all technologies have their costs and their risks and their challenges, and I'm not personally too concerned about our ability to manage those risks. They do come with additional costs. There are trade-offs that need to be made, and all technologies have their challenges.
Yeah, sure. Of course, nuclear power plants do operate around the world, and they're completely safe. The United States has heaps of plants powering tens of millions of homes, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There's roughly about just over 30 countries across the world have operating nuclear plants. So in the United States, it's just under 20% of their electricity comes from nuclear. But in other countries, France famously, 65% of their power comes from nuclear. In a lot of those countries, it's less than 30% of their total electricity generation.
And we, as Australians, did give nuclear power a shot back in the late 60s in Jervis Bay on the New South Wales south coast, didn't we? Just tell me about that.
Yeah, that's right. We began the construction of a 500 megawatt plant in Jervis Bay in 1969, and they allocated a little bit of money in the budget to starting early works on that.
This is the site for Australia's first nuclear power station. The Prime Minister announced 1 year ago that Australia would enter the atomic age by establishing the power station on the southeast tip of Jervis Bay.
Didn't get too far along because it was, politically unpopular at the time. There was a local opposition campaign to that then. A change of Prime Minister, not a change of government, just a change of Prime Minister within the coalition that then sort of put the project on pause. They basically come to the conclusion that it was too expensive compared to our natural competitive advantage at the time, coal.
And I heard a little rumour that you took your family recently to visit the site in Jervis Bay where that power plant would have been.
Yeah, you can actually go and see where they started doing some of these early works. I think the car park was originally levelled in anticipation of building this power plant.
The road from Nowra to Jervis Bay is like any other Australian country road. But as you come round the last bend before the Jervis Bay Naval College turnoff, a dramatic and totally unexpected change. Suddenly, you're driving along an all-weather, two-lane tarmacked highway. And after 3.5 miles of smooth motoring, just as suddenly as it started, the road inexplicably stops.
All right, well, just explain, though, Dylan, for me, why we didn't turn to nuclear here. I know you said they thought it was too expensive, but given nations like America, the UK, France, as you mentioned, were all doing it. Why not? Why didn't we do it?
Yeah, I mean, so the technology actually got banned by John Howard's government, actually, in 1998. It was sort of a compromise around expanding the research reactor in New South Wales, the Lucas Heights facility. With the Greens, it was banned from 1998.
But Dylan, now we are talking about it again because the coalition thinks it's not such a bad idea to go nuclear after all. So just tell me exactly what Peter Dutton is proposing.
I guess I can't tell you exactly what he's proposing because it's quite light on the details at this point. They are keen to lift the moratorium on nuclear and progress the development of either conventional, so large-scale nuclear plants, or potentially, should they come to fruition, small modular reactors. The other part that they've communicated is a desire to put them in the location of old coal-fired power stations. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, there's not a huge amount of detail in terms of how it might be paid for or anything else.
Our plan is to make sure that we have a firm basis of energy. That means that we want renewables in the system, but we have to firm them up when the solar panels aren't working overnight time, when the wind turbines aren't blowing. We need to have a base load of energy, which in 19 of 20 G20 countries is nuclear.
The coalition says it will announce its formal energy policy in coming weeks. The Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Ted O'Brien, says nuclear energy could be up and running in Australia within a decade, so that's pretty fast. In an interview with 7:30 this week, he specifically mentioned recent projects in the United Arab Emirates.
So the UAE,
yes,
they went from a decision to actually having nuclear on the grid within a 10-year period. These
weren't small modules. What's happening there? Why was he using that example?
Yeah, there's a fairly large nuclear plant that's in the final stages of completion. It's been under construction since about 2012. It's also the case that they decided to move to nuclear sort of well before they started construction, I think 5 or so years beforehand. And then I think a perhaps more significant issue is, you know, we live in a Western liberal democracy. Yes. We have multiple tiers of governments that need to be negotiated. And what relevance, an autocratic regime in the Middle East might have to the Australian context is limited, I would say.
Yes, that was the point the host, Sarah Ferguson, brought up with Ted O'Brien. The 10-year timeframe might be a bit ambitious by the sound of it.
We're talking about a country that is partially a command economy. So it's not a country like Australia. It's not a country where people can object to a nuclear reactor.
So the UAE,
yes,
they are the most recent entrant.
Indeed.
Right? Now, when you look at the inclusion of COVID that apparently took them out for 2 years, they went from a decision to actually having nuclear on the grid within a 10-year period.
But Dylan, how quickly do you think Australia could build a nuclear reactor then, if not in 10 years?
I think we would be very lucky to have power from a nuclear generator before the 2040s. Very lucky.
Ted O'Brien, he also talked about small nuclear reactors, which he said could be built even faster.
The advice we have is that you actually can, if it's a small modular reactor, work within a decade.
But there's some problems with that proposal too, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the hope of the small modular reactor technologies, that they will be delivered faster. That hasn't happened yet. They are still theoretical. They don't exist.
All right, well, the coalition says if it were to push ahead with this plan, it would be looking at sites in the Gippsland region in Victoria, in the Hunter Valley in New South Wales, those sort of areas for these plants. But the question is really whether this is actually a viable option or a total furphy, as the government and the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, says.
The United States, with a very developed regulatory regime, with a very developed nuclear industry, the nuclear leader of the world, the average build time of a nuclear power plant in the United States has been 19 years. Ted O'Brien thinks you can do it in Australia from 10 with a standing start, with no regulations, with it banned not only nationally but in the three most populous states. I mean, tell him he's dreaming.
The Prime Minister, of course, has also dismissed this idea.
Every 10 years there are these proposals. What never comes is any investment because it simply doesn't stack up commercially.
So tell me, Dylan, is it a furphy or actually something that could happen here in Australia?
Yeah, look, I mean, theoretically, they are good sites to put large nuclear power stations. In practice, as a sort of mentioned earlier, the timing doesn't make sense. But yeah, I think a broader issue is that because these plants are retiring well before a nuclear plant would be delivering its first power to the grid, we do need to, you know, replace that output and capacity in the near term. So we do need to do sort of all of these other things that we are, you know, currently doing, building out renewable energy, building out the grid. We have to keep doing that. The theoretical attraction of the using those sites that does have some merit. When you start thinking about the practical realities of it, there are pretty significant limitations actually.
According to the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, replacing Australia's retiring fleet of coal-fired power stations with nuclear energy would cost something like $387 billion. So, yes, it's not cheap. Dylan, at the end of the day, of course, this is all political too, because it's the coalition taking an alternative policy to the voters at the next election. Barnaby Joyce, he's been actively protesting against renewable policies.
Look what's happening. Your power price is going through the roof. It is. Your reliability is going through the floor. It is. And your money on your bill overseas. So how is that an environmental solution?
And Nationals leader David Littleproud has been calling for a moratorium on Australia's energy rollout.
We should not go down a full renewable path. That would be risky for Australia, our sovereignty. We need to have a mix. There is a place for renewables. We support renewables, but we only support them if they're done properly.
Is that actually feasible? Could we pause that?
It would not be a good idea in terms of ensuring we have a reliable and low-cost system, that's for sure. As I said, we have all these ancient coal plants that are now end of life and withdrawing, so we do need to replace that. And right now, the cheapest and most cost-effective way to do that is a mixture of renewable energy, storage, transmission and some of those other balancing technologies. And this is independent of considerations about climate. We do actually have to reduce our emissions and quick smart.
So, Dylan, what would you say to those who might be thinking nuclear is a good option for Australia at this point?
The thing that I would not like to see is for it to be used to slow down the transition that's coming right now. You know, there's merit in the idea of keeping our options open. The idea of lifting the ban, I think that's not a terrible thing to do, actually. Maybe in, you know, 2 decades' time, the costs come down. It may make sense for us to have nuclear then. But right now, it seems like a bit of a distraction and a waste of time.
Have we really missed the nuclear boat, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Just from an inertia, momentum point of view, the renewable energy industry is just running away from the nuclear industry. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say that we've missed the boat for this energy transition on nuclear.
Dylan McConnell is a senior research associate and an energy systems analyst at the University of New South Wales. This is our 500th episode. Whether you've been with us from the start or joined us only recently, thank you for listening. All our past episodes are on the ABC Listen app. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald and Nell Whitehead. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. To get in touch with the team, please email us on ABC News Daily at abc.net.au. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.